those folks over there. And this past week, he shared how God has been working in his life and some of those experiences. And Pastor Kevin was there, and he said he you know, he listened to Wayne, and he gave me a call almost right afterwards, and he said, you know, I just heard Wayne share, and he just said, it was awesome, you know, and I want Wayne to share exactly what he just did with the old folks on Sunday with our church. So, so we're very grateful to have Wayne, who readily you know, jumped at the opportunity to come here and speak with us and share some of his experiences, because as Kevin explained, in light of Kevin's last sermon, with you know how we are experiencing God and how we need to say yes and partner with God and how we can see God working in our lives, that Wayne, what he has to say today fits really well with that. So we're super happy to have Wayne here, and you can applause now. Wayne, thank you very much for coming. You have the floor.
That's gonna be hard to live up to this. Anyway, good morning. How are you guys? Me, I'm nervous. I kind of been asking myself, how did God get me up here today? And you can laugh, but I'm up here. Yes, I gave this talk earlier this week for the seniors up at the Pine Valley and the Good Sam. I'm not the middle group. I'm just a senior. But Pastor Kevin asked me to share it, and this is something that's always on my heart, so I said yes rather quickly. And normally you can find me at the back of the church. I'm usually, one of my roles is that I'm one of the ushers. And when the service starts, I stand and I look at the backs of your heads. And often I find myself praying for all of you. And my prayer for each of us is that we would get to know Jesus better, and that we would grow in our experience in the fullness of God's love for each other. So how can we do this? I believe one way is by sharing our God stories and encouraging one another with them. I don't believe that's just the pastor's job. It's all of our job. So, yes, I said yes. I'm up here. So I'm going to get out of the boat today, and I'm going to share some of my faith stories with you. I believe by sharing and hearing what God has done in each of our lives, that each of us will grow in our faith. I love the prayer Paul prayed for his brothers and sisters in Christ in Ephesians 3, 14 and 19. I want to pray it over you. I kneel before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. And I ask him to strengthen you by his spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb its depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. So let's get started. What I shared earlier this week was something close to my heart. Serving people and how God looks at us. I believe for the Christian, serving people is just not something we should do. It's something we need to do. We all have something to offer each other. I'm just reminded of the evening when Jesus just grabbed a towel, started washing the disciples' feet. It wasn't complicated. He saw a need, he stepped up, and he filled it. Simple. Jesus is our example of how service is supposed to work. Service and serving others is a big part of my life. There's no, and I'm a little selfish about this, because nothing like those moments when you're serving someone, then you realize that the God of heaven and earth can even use you, can use you, can use you to touch another human being. For instance, I used to take out this old timer for pizza once a week. His name was Walter. Kind of thought God wanted me to be there for him. I saw his need. He was a shut-in. Even I could figure this one out. He needed to get out once in a while. As Walter grew older, he also grew weaker, and those pizza nights got pretty exciting. I never knew if I'd really be taken back home to the manor or off to the hospital when we were done. There were times when it was almost impossible to get him back into my car when we left the restaurant. He often choked on his food. My wife wouldn't come with us, so. He had the occasional asthma attack. He even blacked out on me one time in the hospital, in the restaurant. You know what? Walter wouldn't allow me to stop taking him out for pizza. He told me it was his night out. He told me after one of his coughing spells, it wasn't his illness that was killing him. It was the loneliness. He said people just stopped visiting him because he was old and sick. He thanked me for seeing his need and visiting with him. And he said the darndest thing. He said, I was Jesus for him. Me. I was Jesus for him. So let's pray. I'm going to pray again. Lord, I thank you for Walter. I thank you for placing him in my life. Lord, I also thank you for all of these people, placing them in my life, in our lives, Lord. Lord, you call us to be your light in the world. You say it's better to give than to receive. Lord, I ask that you bless these stories I'm about to share today. I ask that you use them to show your love. May they also touch the memories of the times when each of these people reached out and touched somebody. I pray this in Jesus' name. Walter and I, we studied the Bible together a lot, too. We just didn't eat food. And I'll never forget how he described the Bible to me one day. He said, the Bible is full of stories about God and man. Stories of man's relationship with God and God's relationship with men. It tells us stories of who God is and stories of who we are. I never forgot those words. They stick to me to today. The first story I want to share with you is one given to me by my daughter 20 years ago. She got it from her teacher at Cap and Ray Bible School in Australia. I believe it best describes our need for Jesus very well. There was this great king, and this great king decided he wanted to share some of his riches with his subjects. So he had this great big open house, and he put out all his horses, he put out all his chariots, he put out all his rugs, he put out all his jewelry. Put all the stuff that he collected and just spread it out all over the courtyard and said to the people, whatever you can put your arms around, it's yours. Just put your arms around something and you can take it. Well, the people just started doing that, just putting their arms around things and taking them away. In the midst of all this craziness, a poor little boy came up to his king and said, Are you sure? Are you sure you really mean that? Do you really mean if we put our arms around whatever it is in this yard, we can have it? The king said, absolutely. And then, because he was poor, the poor little boy said, I don't want you to get angry with me. I just want to ask you to be sure. Because I need to be very sure with that kind of promise. Whatever I put my arms around, are you sure I can take it? Because if I put my arms around it, I'm going to want it. And the king said, I promise, I absolutely promise you can have whatever you put your arms around. Well, this little guy just flew up and threw his arms around the king's legs. He grabbed onto the king's legs and he said, well, I got my hands around you and I want you. You see, the difference between that little boy and the rest of the people in the king's kingdom was when he got the king, he got everything. The moral of the story is there's lots of things in this life we can put our arms around. There's lots of things we can accumulate. There's lots of things we can have. But the most important thing is that we just put our arms around Jesus. Why? Because he who gets the Son gets everything. I've been in love and walking with my Jesus now for over 25 years. I love reading my Bible. I love to get to know Jesus. I just love that. And the most important, most exciting thing I think about getting to know Jesus is discovering that God wants to partner with you. God wants to partner with you. That means he wants you to experience him today, now, maybe this moment. And this can happen in many ways. I believe one way is in our service to others. Another way of experiencing God is reading your scriptures. But you know what? You can't put God in a box. He always likes the surprise. He's never dull. In the Bible, one of my favorite pictures of God is that he's the good shepherd. And we are his sheep. Maybe that's why we're bad. Personally, my favorite sheep shepherd passage is John 10, 3 and 4. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I have another God story I want to share with you. This one happened 10 years back. Getting old is kind of funny. I can remember things 10, 20, 30 years ago, but I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. Weird, isn't it? Anyways, I was with my wife at this fabric wool store in Jasper several years back. She gave me permission. I'm allowed to tell this story. Anyway, when we're in the fabric stop, I usually stand behind her and kind of do this. Gently guide her forward, and she usually responds, "Wayne, you're hurting me again." That usually means give me some more time. Anyway, bored out of my mind, I spied these two small ceramic lambs on one of the shelves. Somehow I sensed that God wanted me to buy those things. I'm not sure what for. I just bought them anyway. As it turned out, there was this Christian retreat in Hinton the next weekend. Somehow in my mind, again, it felt like God was speaking to me. I began to trust that it would be there that I would find out whom God wanted me to give those two lambs to. Looking back, I can see now the Bible's full of stories just like this. Stories of where God speaks to his people, they listen to his voice, they just know it's God. They just know it's God. I think of the disciples. Jesus says to them, "Come and follow me." They drop everything and follow him. I'm sure like me, they weren't ready for the adventure Jesus had planned for them. They just followed him. So in this case, what happened? I went to the retreat, and almost immediately I knew who to give one of the lambs to. Ooh, I was feeling good. I knew who to give one of the lambs to. So then I, being obedient, Carolyn says, "Be obedient." I listened to God, and I waited who the second lamb was for. But I heard nothing. I just waited. nothing. The whole weekend, I didn't hear nothing. So I went home that weekend feeling somewhat discouraged, wondering why I hadn't heard from God. After all, I still have one of those cute little lambs. And I knew it was for somebody. After much prayer, a face I had seen that weekend came to me. I knew the face, but I didn't know the person. In my head, I began to have this conversation over and over and over again. "Lord, I don't know her name. How am I going to give her this lamb if I don't even know her name?" Jesus kept reminding me, "I know her name. My sheep know my voice. I know her name. My sheep know my voice." Finally, I thought to myself, "Okay, God, I'll listen to your voice. I'll just have to trust that you will bring her to that prayer meeting on Monday night." When I said those words, peace came over me. We say that when we're Christians, don't we? Peace came over me. Well, I did. I was confident, not overly confident. So what happened? I went to that prayer meeting the next Monday night, and the girl with the face is there. Now God had my attention. There's an old song I sing. I used to sing. Now I only remember the one verb, the chorus. When the Spirit moves you, you've got to move. Well, the truth is, that's not always easy, is it? It's a choice, however. When we hear God's prompting, we can either stay put or we can move. It's our choice. In this case, I slowly moved to her side of the room, walked up to her, and blurted out words like this. If they don't sound very Christian-like, I'm sorry. I'm going to just tell you the way it happened. I think I used two breaths, I said. This might sound kind of strange coming from a person that doesn't even know your name, but I think I'm supposed to tell you something. God wants you to know that he knows your name, and I'm supposed to give you this sheep and say that you're one of his. Well, that poor girl. Thing was, she smiled at me and thanked me for the lamb. She explained, I've been going through a real rough time lately. And I've been asking God to show me that he knows me. In fact, the very words, God knows us by name, has been in my heart all day. You couldn't have known that. Only God could have. Thank you for letting God use you. Whew, I was dancing again. I knew God used clumsy old me. I also knew it wasn't me. She heard it was Jesus. And I was just fine with that. One last story before I sit down. This one's more recent. I went to visit my friend Joe Carling up at the Good Sam the other day. I don't know. Joe has MS. He has no use of his arms and legs anymore. He just sort of lays in a bed. And I visit him all the time. But he was down this particular day. And the first thing he said to me when I entered the room was, Wayne, I don't know why I'm thinking this way, but for some reason I'm questioning if God even speaks to me. I sat down in his wheelchair, stared at him in his hospital bed, and replied, what do you think's going on, Joe? We talked for a while. We agreed that the enemy of our soul can also speak to us. And he likes to break us down, doesn't he? I told Joe, we may not always understand everything God's doing in our lives. But right now, what do you feel about yourself? Are you being built up? Or do you feel yourself being pulled down? That'll tell you which voice you're listening to. As I said these words to Joe, Joe's face transformed. He began again to believe in the goodness of our Lord over that lie that Satan was telling him. You could literally see God turning my friend's frown upside down. His joy had returned. To my right, I glanced at a cross Joe had on his wall with the words on it, trust in the Lord. Joe's Bible was close by, and something, God told me to open that Bible. I believe that. To Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. What made this God moment even more special for me was that those verses were highlighted in yellow in Joe's Bible. I flipped through the rest of that Bible, and there were no other verses highlighted in yellow, just those two. Now, this is what I like to believe. Apparently, years before, when Joe had the use of his hands and legs, well, he didn't write with his legs, with his hands, he highlighted those verses. And when I looked up from the Bible, I saw my friend Joe grinning back at me. And he said this, God spoke to both of us today, didn't he? I replied, yes, Jill. God spoke to me today as well. You know, according to the scriptures, God's love for us is as deep as the ocean. It's more and more than any of us will ever know or ever will comprehend. He doesn't love us passively, but he loves us personally. Get used to that. He loves you personally. God does not simply know the flock or the crowd. He knows each sheep and each person by name. When I was a youngster, 45, 50 years ago, I traveled to New Zealand. They have a lot of sheep over there. I remember somebody saying back then, there's something like 10 or 20 sheep for every man, woman, and child in that country. And I believed them. Anyway, I'd be hitchhiking, and I saw many flocks of sheep along the side of those roads. People would always pick me up and drop me off at the strangest of places. And many times I'd be stuck on the side of the road for long periods of time, looking back and staring at the sheep in front of me.